Listen, laugh, and learn with Sasha and Ish as they share their experiences, thoughts, and tips to build skills that are not so average and a career that's not so ordinary. This is the Not So Breakfast Show.
All right, welcome to the Not So Breakfast Show today, the podcast for leadership and career development. And it is getting close to Christmas. Only a couple of weeks. No, what is it?
A couple of sleeps.
Couple of sleeps to go. But yes, so this is episode 149 as well, coming up to our 150th episode, which is going to be pretty exciting. And speaking of exciting things, Sasha's with me. That's exciting. Sitting in the coffee shop.
Yes, indeed. I'm in Otatahi Christchurch this morning, this afternoon. No, it's definitely afternoon. Oh la la. Yes, we are leading in to Christmas. And let's just stay right at the start. Not everyone celebrates Christmas. So happy holidays to you. Happy Hanukkah. Happy being another religion, if that's what you are. Happy having consumerism as your God, if that's what you do. If you're a sun worshipper, if you just like being nude when your uncle comes over at Christmas, whatever your thing is, we say happy, happy, happy to you about that thing. But here in New Zealand, it's that time of year where it's summertime. We are going into for what many people have as their longest holiday break. And so it's that curious mix of absolute mayhem while people are going really fast to rush around in order to slow down.
Yes, and that's what we're going to be talking about, is how do we slow down and recharge? Because it does feel like we are sprinting into Christmas and probably crossing our fingers, hoping like crazy that we come out after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 10 days, 4 weeks, whatever your time is, recharged and revitalized and do it all again for another 48 weeks or 50 weeks or whatever that looks like. So I am talking to myself as much as anyone in this session, and I know, Sash, you will probably be exactly the same. The advice we are giving out is as much for us as it is for people listening to the podcast. But it is a really good time to think about going into holidays. How do we actually take the time to treat it as a holiday? Because I heard a story the other day that someone went on a cruise and then they came back more exhausted than when they left. And I was like, how does that happen?
I do understand that about cruising. There's lots to do on a really good ship, just so you know. And so you feel guilty about sleeping. You're like, oh, but I haven't been to bingo at midnight yet. Better try it. I do think there's this incredible paradox that often happens, which is that we go so hard in the lead up to a break, and then we have a hard stop. And then it's like our bodies fall apart, our minds fall apart, and we find it hard to relax because we haven't prepared for a kind of unwinding and an unraveling. And just as we're starting to relax, it's time to get ready to go back to work and back to school. And so I think we can be more deliberate about how to set up our holidays for success. And I'm looking forward to getting into that today.
So why don't we start with that kind of our first sort of discussion and tip, which is really don't abandon all routines. I think what sometimes happens is we get into the Christmas spirit and into those Christmas weeks and we just go, oh, well, it's too hard to eat well. It's too hard to do exercise. I'll just fix it up next year. But what happens is we treat our body like a rubbish bin basically for 3 weeks, and then we think that the energy is going to be there, but we've laid down a foundation of just basically garbage in, and when you put garbage in, you tend to get garbage out. So by trying to look at maybe not abandoning routines, but actually put some routines in place that are less restrictive or have more flexibility, but still have some sort of logic to them, so that you feel that you are still able to make good choices and able to get into a pattern, so that when you're coming out the other side, you're in a better position possibly than when you started.
Yeah, I think what's also interesting is to think, what are the routines that serve you through the year? So if you say, well, when I'm working and everything about my life sucks, so as soon as I go on holiday, I'm doing everything differently. So late nights, no early mornings, no exercise, no whatever. When in actual fact, for most of us have, well, I think if you're listening to this podcast, we are being conscious about how we live and trying to lead good lives, which means there are things that we do every day during our working weeks that actually serve us, that we enjoy, that keep us sane and keep us healthy. So as much as possible, we should maintain those things, even if we're doing it with different people or we're doing it in a different place. So if you have a regular meditation habit, or you have a regular habit of reading, or you have a regular exercise schedule, it might be that the nature of the exercise you do is different, or you don't exercise as intently, but you actually keep doing the things that you know make you happy and that make you a better parent or a better lover or a better person to be around. Keep those things up, because that's what enables you to actually have a good time on holiday.
Yeah, that's great. Also, just do the classic reflect on the year that's been. How was it? You know, write some stuff down, do some thinking about it, and start to do some pre-planning for what you want next year. I was just doing an activity with our team at work, and we were just going through all of the stuff that we've delivered within the last quarter that down, and then you start to even forget stuff, and someone's saying, oh, what about that time that we did that? It's like, oh yeah, we did do that, and all the work that got delivered, but you can extrapolate that back. And then almost get to the point where you go, actually, it's okay to be tired. Yeah. It's okay. I mean,
you deserve to be exhausted.
A lot of us have been pushing hard.
You've done a lot.
Yeah. Well done.
I like to go back through my phone, through the camera roll, and just go, oh, what was I doing in January? Ah, that's right, February. Yes, I did go to Finland in February. Oh, I ate some reindeer. Yay. Or, you know, whatever it is, that can be a really good mental jog of where you've been, what you've done, people you've seen. Because often I think when we reflect on the year, our tendency is to reflect on what we're not happy about or what went badly, or we hold on to and remember the drama. It's really nice to go back through your camera roll and remember the highlights and the good things. Also just go back through your diary, whether that's a physical diary or an electronic diary, and remind yourself, to your point, Ash, what is the work that you delivered? What did get achieved? And you can ask yourself a series of questions and be prepared. There's lots of diary notes and reflective journals and end-of-year questions that help take you through a process. What was a highlight? What was a lowlight? What did you learn about yourself? What surprised you about a situation? Are there any situations you were in where you would respond differently if you had the opportunity again? Is there anybody you need to apologize to before you go to your Christmas break? And those guided questions can just help clear your mind, clear your heart. Don't get a woo-woo, but like clear your spirit as you go into a time where you're going to be called on to be a bigger person. So one of the things about Christmas is it tends to bring you together with people who you may or may not be excited to see. And that's okay. And I love this idea from Glennon Doyle that we've talked about before, is that it's entirely predictable how your family are going to behave. So set yourself up by saying, I can reflect on what happened last Christmas, and that shit's probably going to happen again this year. So knowing that, how can you prepare? So take some time to also reflect on what was good and bad about your last Christmas, and make some adjustments if you need to.
And then look to plan in some things, like, you know, the mindfulness exercises that you know you should do but you've been too busy to do. Well, here's a window to maybe form a bit of a habit and do a bit of recharging. Or those little gratitude practices of just texting someone and saying thank you, or, you know, sending them a voice memo. And just those little things that can sometimes just make you feel good. It's like when, you know, you've shaken up the Coke bottle or you're just kind of opening the lid. You've just got to let little bits out to get the lid off, right? Because if you just try and unscrew it in one big go, then suddenly it's just all over the place and everywhere. But maybe starting to build some of those habits in while you've got the space. So when you're coming out the other side, you've now got them in there and they have become a priority for you. So let's talk about disconnecting from technology. I think this is something that I am going to try to do better this year. I think I do it reasonably well.
Sorry, Ash, mate. Why though?
Why? When I say technology, I'm really talking about my phone and email. Because I just end up with all this stuff in my head that doesn't need to be there.
I'm already nervous for you. Like, how's this going to go? Like, it's very brave.
It is going to be brave. And I'm going to start with my email. And I am going to put my out of office on. Because I think that that is something that sometimes we might forget to do. But if you actually have an out of office with the time that you're away and the message that says, don't text me, you know, don't email me, or, you know, only in emergencies, but it's breaking the habit. I can break the habit, but it takes me a few days to get into that.
Right.
What I want to try to do is try to start that sooner and try to break it sooner. So maybe I might even put my out of office on a couple of days before I finish up for the year.
Ooh,
or maybe
like
just
that.
Do something to try to get the routine yes. going. Yeah. Because otherwise I'm going to go, could be a good 5 days of breaking the habit of picking up my phone and checking it. And the other thing I'm going to do is move my Outlook app from my home screen in the position that it's in to somewhere else on my phone so that I don't subconsciously just go in
yes.
there, because that's what I do after I look at that one.
Yeah, that is so smart and so brave and so beyond anything I'm ready to try.
So another one is plan some quality time with loved ones. You know, your friends, family members that you actually enjoy spending time with that aren't draining, those ones, those special few. You want to make sure that you plan that stuff in, and maybe that could be the gift that you give them other than gifts, right? So it could be, why don't we go out for coffee, I want to take you out for coffee, or for a morning tea, let's connect, let's catch up, or why don't we go to the movies, my shout, whatever it is. But those little activities that you might be able to do, rather than trying to give them the gift that they may not even necessarily need or want, but that quality time moment that gives you a chance to connect, a chance to unwind, and a chance to really kind of do things that fills your cup, soothes your soul.
Yeah, absolutely this, and also the joy of organized activities. So I know that there are people that say, oh, I just want to, can't we just all be together and hang out? And I'm like, yes, we can. But that tends to just dissolve into people going off and doing their own thing. It tends to devolve into people hanging out together, but isolated, not actually necessarily engaging. So when you've got families of different ages and stages or different family members, everyone likes to pick on the person that says, oh, let's play Monopoly, or let's do a Kahoot, or let's go and do an escape room, or let's go for a walk. But actually, just be a joiner. Be a bloody joiner these holidays. And if someone's got an idea for an activity, just say, yes, I can do that, because it gives structure to your time together. It means that there's often an end point. So we're going to play a game and then the game ends. And then you all have permission to go and sync back into your phones or catch up with your other friends, whatever it is that you want to do. But you force sometimes the communication and the communion between family members, and it's a good thing. Don't be that guy that's always rolling their eyes at someone who's trying to organize and get a bit of synergy going, because I think often that quality time, you're actually creating memories, because it's in the context sometimes of games or sports or walks or activities that stuff happens, and that becomes family folklore for years and years to come.
What about planning some self-care activities? Maybe book yourself in for a massage, you know,
yes.
Buy yourself the fucking lilies.
Yes.
Take a slice out of that book. Do some stuff that's just for you. You want to go out for a nice breakfast and there's no one to go with? Go on your own. Maybe that's even a nicer way to have breakfast sometimes. But plan those little activities in.
Oh, you know, when I do the reflection, and this is what's useful, I do the reflection on Christmases that are past. And I say, what's worked really well and what hasn't worked really well? And I don't want to be like a big hero martyr, but let me tell you how much cooking I do in the lead up to Christmas. And let me also tell you that I'm not a natural cook. There are chefs in my family, but for a whole variety of reasons, I end up cooking. And most years I end up with like a sore back or sore feet or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's because I haven't dressed appropriately. So my big hot tip for Christmas is to put your runners on. When you first wake up on Christmas morning, if you're doing a whole lot of cooking, put your running shoes on and give yourself exceptional support. But so that by the time you've been on your feet for like 7 hours and the guests are about to arrive, then you just slip off your runners into something a little sexy and slinky, and you look amazing, but you've actually had the protection. And those are like legitimate self-care things that you need to do in order to set up for Christmas success. I mean, this has been a quality tip-ish. I think it's a quality tip. don't you?
I love that. Well, what about on the cooking one? While we are eating food that probably maybe we're eating a bit more than we need to or not the food that we want to, why not take a bit of a smoothie challenge over the Christmas time and just look up some recipes for those restorative smoothies that you can have. And that way, at least if you get to the day and go, well, I probably drank a bit too much and had a bit too much crap food, but I did set myself up with that liver cleansing smoothie in the morning that made me feel a little bit better.
I honestly thought you were going to suggest that when you just can't face eating any more leftovers, just put them in a blender and have a ham smoothie. I mean, how many days does ham last after Christmas? Oh, ham sandwiches again, day 7. No, have a ham smoothie. Put some kale in, it'll be good for you.
We'll be right back.
Do you spend too much time planning out and then freaking out about your upcoming presentations? Then the 30-Minute Presenter Program is for you. With our audio-based training program, you can literally learn the art of presenting while walking, driving, or even in the bath. Imagine Sasha and I right there with you. Well, not in the bath, but in your ears, unpacking our 40 years of combined experience in this impactful upskill. Learn to craft messages that matter, engage an audience, and overcome those nerves. So join the 30-Minute Presenter Program. The link is in the show notes. Get started today. Okay, I am planning some little hobbies and activities to do over my break.
Oh, what are you doing?
I've already brought my big Lego set. I'm going to do
what is it?
It's the Pac-Man arcade game that you build. So you build it out of Lego.
Ooh, amazing.
So, yeah.
Amazing.
It's a big one. So I'm going to take the time to chip away at that. And I've brought a book that I'm going to be reading, which I've been wanting to come out for. I've been waiting for this book for like 4 years, and it's called Year of the Lotus.
Oh, yes.
And I am...
Oh, excellent.
Yes, I am very excited. I picked it up the other day. I've read 2 chapters, and I am looking forward to sitting in the sun reading that.
Amazing. Every year I do a puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle, like a big jigsaw puzzle. And that's not actually about jigsaw puzzling. It's about the forced still...
Yes.
And really nice for your hobbies and creative outlets to be an antidote to what you don't get during the year. So it would not be a good use of my time in a holiday period to improve my debating skills. Like that's just like not being on holiday. So I'd say, what's going to force me to slow down? What's going to give me that sense of calm? And so for me, that's I'm going to have a great big jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, nice. I like that. What about setting some realistic expectations? Sometimes I think we just need to keep it simple, right? If you are the person that everyone is coming to for Christmas dinner, keep it simple. Pick the 1 or 2 things that you do really well and do those, and then make everybody else bring everything else. Because otherwise, we've been out.
Give people 2 choices. And I think choice is really important. So when people come to my place for Christmas and they come and be in our house with Chris and I, we give them 2 choices. This is Christmas. Take it or leave it. Those are your options. Those are your choices. If there's a particular food thing that you want, make it and bring it. You know, the biggest thing that I have about Christmas around food, there is so much fuss and so much, and I mean, I understand the tradition and people who have generational dishes that are passed down through families, and that's amazing. But you know what I'm like with food? Every morning I wake up and I say, today I have an abundance of food in my life and I'm richly blessed because so many people today in this world are going hungry. And how can I have anything but intense gratitude and joy and relief that I was born in this country at this time in history where food is not going to be a problem for me, where even in my immediate neighborhood and beyond, people are going to be under pressure for food. So, you know, it is not great to ever come at me about food being a little bit overcooked or a little bit undercooked or a little bit not how Auntie June makes it. And not a bit, I'm like, yeah, right now we just need to be deep in our well of gratitude. And I think particularly this year, there's a number of conflicts in the world, that are incredibly troubling and that lead to feelings of powerlessness for us. And sometimes that expresses itself in actually us being more nitpicky and critical. And I'm like, no, no, no. We need to pull back and just sit in intense gratitude for all that we do have and all that we are.
Yeah, I love that. But yeah, just little simple things that can create little moments for us or de-stress us. Because otherwise what's going to happen is we stop on the 21st, 22nd, and then we stress up to Christmas Day. We finally get through that and then take 4 days to recover, and then there's half your holiday out gone.
And if you're not doing, if you're like a guest at someone else's home this holiday season, whether it's Christmas Day, whether it's some other celebration that you're having, or you're just visiting with friends, one of the questions that we sometimes ask is, do you need any help or can I help you? And I want to give you four magic words that's just, it's that same question slightly re-expressed, and that is to go to the host and say, how can I help? How can I help? And then the host will say, the thing that you could do right now is just grab yourself a drink, and perhaps could you offer one to Auntie Sarah because she needs a cup of tea. Thank you. Not can I help, yeah. Because the host will say, oh, no, it's okay. You just enjoy yourself. How can I help? And then just be open to doing what that thing is.
And then take those little four words into the new year and your next job or your current job.
Yeah, or your current life. How can I help?
Cool. So hopefully there's something in there that, you know, you can start to think about recharging, because my concern for myself, my concern for you, Sash, my concern for everybody is that we use these holidays at the end of the year as a band-aid to think, well, it'll be fine once I get through the holidays and I've had a chance to reset and recalibrate. But we don't. We don't take that opportunity, and we just end up sprinting through a break. So it's a, yes, you're doing something different, but you did it at the same pace that you were doing your work and you were pushing yourself, your adrenaline spiking, and then, yeah, we're just on the flip side of December, but no better.
And it doesn't have to be like that. It does not have to be like that. You can create some boundaries for yourself, keep some healthy habits going, start some new healthy habits, find some fun, set up for some activities with people that you love, say no to things that you don't enjoy or don't want to do, and be relaxed about no being a complete sentence. Reflect on the year and think about what changes you might want to make for next year as well. And there's two other things you could do. You might decide that what you want to do next year is become a better public speaker. Well, guess what? We can help. Buy yourself the 30-minute presenter program. Buy yourself that gift for Christmas and spend the holidays practicing your 30-minute speeches on your children or on your family members or the people you're on holiday with. Hey, guys, I've got another topic. Today's topic at the campground is... Just deliver some sermons from the mount. That would be great. And the second thing that you can do is that if you think my job sucks, you're probably right, and you will have more fun if you choose to come and own your own coffee shop. And I can set you up in a coffee shop in 2024. Make no mistake, it's a wonderful way to earn a crust. So hit me up about that. Ish, have you got any sales that you want to do at this particular time?
Oh, I think that one of the best gifts you can give people at Christmas is the link to the Not So Breakfast Show podcast.
Yes.
With your favourite episodes.
Yes.
Maybe you could curate a really cool list of our podcasts and share those with your community, and we can keep spreading the gift of leadership and career development around. That would be my Christmas wish, Sash.
Yeah, well, you know how you should never give gifts that imply or infer the need for self-improvement. So you do not give your husband a diet book for Christmas. That's a pretty straightforward thing. If the 10 episodes that you choose for the person you give the podcast to are too pointed, they will know that you are trying to fix or change them. So throw in a few lighthearted, irrelevant episodes, and then maybe put the one episode you really want them to hear. Just hide that in the middle there.
The one about the 80s and then the one about how not to be an asshole.
Yes, good. Yeah, those two in there.
Brilliant. So what are you watching on the social TV networks, Sash? Not naming any because we're not sponsored by any yet. But
yeah, I'm about to start watching Obliterated, which I'm very, very excited about. New series that's out and apparently very good. And mm-hmm. on your recommendation, I'm watching Spirited.
Ah, yes.
And on Saturday night, I'm coming to Auckland. We're going to go and watch Love Actually with the live orchestra.
Well done.
So that's a particularly Christmassy thing to do. So we went last year. It was amazing. We're going again this year. Lots of good times to be had. Forced fun with my family. That's what that's we're good. Doing.
I'm watching The Artful Dodger. That's the...
Oh, yeah, yes.
The new one on
Yeah, that's got
Disney.
Tim Minchin in
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah. It's good, actually. I mean, it's quite full on because it's about surgery back in the day before they had all the cool things to drugs. Knock you out at the drugs. So it is a little bit full on. But it picks up basically after Oliver Twist, who they don't like for some reason. So it's going to be interesting unpacking that part of the story. Yeah.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
You wanted more, you should have brought it with you on Christmas Day.
No complaints about food.